Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Eileen Kristen, and you're listening to Stardish Radio.
Hey, everybody, this is Brandon Barash, and thank you for listening to Stardish Radio.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome back to Stardish Radio on the Blog Talk Network. Today is February 12, 2009. I'm your host, Joanne, and my number here is 347-945-5423. For those of you who will be in the chat room that are not registered at Blog Talk, take a few minutes and register with BTR. It's a free service, and then this way you'll be able to participate in the chat with the other members. Definitely want to remind people to come back tomorrow because Michael Fairman from MichaelFairmanSoaps.com is going to be joining me for a very soapy Valentine's show. We're going to be discussing all things Valentine's Day, good, bad, the ugly, and we want to know who your soap Valentine will be. I have Brandon on the phone. Brandon.
Hey, Joanne, how are you?
Fine, how are you? You cut your evening short?
No, but I just wanted to pop in and say hi.
Oh, okay. I'm still waiting for our lovely guest to call in. I said, okay. Wait a minute, he's not supposed to be here yet.
Yeah, we just finished dinner, so I thought I'd pop in and see how everybody was.
Okay, well, while you're here and on the phone, plug your show for tomorrow.
We'll do. Tomorrow morning, 10:30 p.m. Eastern. That's 7:30 a.m. Pacific. I've got singer-songwriter Edwin McCain. I got a last-minute kind of confirmation this morning, so it's all a big rush job, but it's going to be a very exciting show. I can't wait.
Okay, very good. And for those of you who still are interested in going on Rock the Soap Cruise, hosted by Bob Guinea, sponsored by SoapNet, you can still go to www.bonniehunt.com. Bonnie Hunt, who you all know has a new talk show out, she is giving away a cruise for two people on her, and they will get the VIP treatment on Rock the Soap Cruise, which will sail out of Long Beach, California, over to Mexico. So you can still definitely do that. And for those of you in the tri-state area, check out Catherine Hicklin's website for her times of book signings. I know she's going to be in Staten Island tomorrow around 7 o'clock. So check her website for the exact details. Okay. Now, getting to tonight's guest, she first made a name for herself with daytime stands when she blew on to General Hospital in 88 and took Port Charles by storm as the feisty, nasty mob Princess Olivia Jerome. But it would be her next role that would truly, truly define her. When GH let her go after 18 months, legendary producer Paul Rausch lured her across the country for a plum role on One Life to Live. And although it took her more than a year to really find her sea legs in Landview, thanks to a rapid-fire turnover with both producers and writers, her character, Alexandra Olenoff Hesser Buchanan Vickers, a straight-laced FAB agent turned loony, lovelorn, obsessive, turned underworld kingpin's queen, turned billionaire's bride, turned small-town mayor. Oh, my God, I'm tired just saying all that. She became an all-time fan favorite, and she is definitely a daytime superstar, to the point that even though she played other roles on soaps, notably a hilarious spot on send-up of Nancy Grace on Passions, Landview has always been home, and she has always been Alex. She still turns up in good old PA from time to time, and she's joining us tonight to discuss her life in soaps, out of soaps, her character's enduring popularity. So please give a warm Stardish welcome to the amazing and exotically gorgeous Tanya Walker.
Thank you. Hi. Wow.
Hi.
What an introduction. Oh, my God. I wish I would have recorded that. I would have played that every time I get depressed.
Well, you want to know something? It's already recorded, so I'm going to send it over to you. How about that?
Okay. I mean, it's so much better than Prozac or any of that stuff. You know what I'm saying?
Well,
how are you?
I'm fine, and I have a fabulous gentleman on the phone, Brandon, who's responsible for that wonderful intro.
Oh, you're kidding me.
Say hi, Brandon.
Hey, Tanya,
hi,
how you doing?
I'm fabulous. How are you?
I'm fantastic, and I'm a big fan of yours for a long time. It's,
that's
great,
so
thrill
nice
to speak with you.
That's nice. I mean, yeah, it's great to be here.
Oh, well, we've been looking forward to this for quite some time. Brandon, I'm going to let you take the floor for a few minutes because I know you're in the middle of your evening, so I want you to be able to talk to Tanya and ask her your questions before I get started.
Okay. So I have a couple questions for you, actually. When Paul Ross brought you One Life to Live,
mm-hmm.
and then he left and Linda Gottlieb came in,
yeah.
it was kind of hairy for you for a while. It was announced that you were leaving the show, and then you came back all of a sudden, and we never really got an explanation as to what happened, and I'm just curious kind of what happened in between there.
Okay. I had been brought in for a juicy story to be Bob Wood's love interest, and I was supposed to be a nice character. And I was actually, I wasn't on General Hospital for 18 months. I was on General Hospital for 3 years.
Okay.
And every 12 weeks, I was brought on there for 12 weeks. I was supposed to get killed off. And I kept finding a way to play Olivia so that she wouldn't get killed off. And personally, I'd been through a really bad relationship that had gone on for a long time, and I'd finally gotten myself out of that, and I'd gotten my own place, and I had my own good job, and everything was wonderful, and I just needed that to last, you know. So I kept finding another way to play this part, and it worked. And then Joe Hardy came in and decided to shoot me in the back.
Mm-hmm.
And as well as Colton and a whole bunch of other, Colton Shore and a whole bunch of other characters. And this show went from, like, number one to number seven.
Yeah.
And he got fired, like, instantaneously, but I was already, you know, my life was already wrecked as far as I was
yeah.
concerned.
Yeah.
So I needed to find another gig, like, immediately. And so I put the word out that I would work, you know, on either coast. And so One Life to Live came up. And I was also auditioning for all my children for different things. And One Life to Live, it really called me in for Tina. Yeah. So when I screen tested for Tina, they decided to write this character named Alex.
Wow.
So after I was on there for like 5 minutes, Paul Rouse gets his future is free. That's how my husband likes to refer to people. And this Linda Gottlieb woman comes in.
Yes.
And she tells us all how she's not going to change anything. And I, you know, everybody doesn't need to be nervous. Everything's great. She loves everything, blah, blah, blah. And I was reading the National Enquirer or the Star. I'm sorry. I get them confused. And I see that I'm going to be, that Tanya Walker is going to be in a Fatal Attraction storyline on One Life to Live. And I had just been in a Fatal Attraction storyline on General Hospital.
Right.
So the one thing that never happens is that the people from upstairs never come downstairs. Places
mm-hmm.
used to be that the writers never came down to where the actors were. Well, for some reason, the head writer came down to the coffee machine in the actors' area, and I was just in my hands was this Star magazine with this picture of me saying that I'm doing this Fatal Attraction storyline, and I just blew up. I mean, I hadn't even gotten all my boxes unpacked yet. So I say to this head writer, I said, what's going on? This says I'm having a Fatal Attraction storyline, Craig. What the heck's going on? And he says, well, I can't really tell you. I said, the hell you can't. I had just got here. He says, well, she's crazy, and she's letting me go, too, so I don't have any reason not to tell you this. She's crazy. She's going to let you and a bunch of other people go, and yeah, you're going to do. I said, I just did this. He says, I know. It's so crazy. Craig Carlson, I love this man now. He's my he was my new best friend. So I ran up two flights of steps, and I run into her office, and I say, what the hell's going on here? And she says, who told you? I said, the National Enquirer.
Oh, my God.
Right. So she tells me, and I had heard this before, that I was too good for daytime. I heard the same thing about the guy that shot me in the back, from the producer that shot me in the back on General Hospital.
Right.
So I said, you're too good for daytime, da-da-da-da-da. I said, oh, give me a break. Couldn't you come up with something more interesting, like something I haven't done before? Like perhaps like I go to Africa to investigate something and I catch malaria? I mean, I don't want to do the same storyline again. I've got the same fans that have watched me from that show to this show. Please. I mean, if I'm going to leave, don't have me do the same darn thing I just did for 9 months on the other show. So while all that was happening, I obviously said whatever I felt like saying to whoever I felt like saying it to. This isn't a new thing. So the public found out that this was happening, and they started writing in letters.
Mm-hmm.
And next thing you know, I got to stay, which was really great. And that's the same thing that had happened on General Hospital, and it was just wonderful, and I was really happy about that.
Wow.
But I had no intention of staying 7 or 8 years. I mean, I was a year or two. I had told everybody in L.A., okay, I'm packing up my stuff. I'm going to move to New York. I'm going to save all my money, and in 24 months, I'm going to come back, and I'm going to buy one of these two-bedroom, two-bath houses on Greenleaf Street in Sherman Oaks, because I wanted a little teeny-weeny, you know, pad of grass and a house for $600,000.
Wow.
That was my goal. So I wasn't trying to stay there and, you know, turn into Erica Slezak or anything. I just wanted a couple, 2-3 years so I could go out there and buy myself a house. And I just couldn't believe they're going to give me the same thing over again. So that's what happened there. And then she, you know, she changed her mind. And, my God, when she changes her mind, she does great things for you. I mean,
absolutely.
Holy cow. I ended up with the most fantastic storyline. And this Carlo Hester, we were in TV Guide. We were, like, you know, sexiest couple on daytime television, you know, and all those things. We both got nominated for Emmys. He won one. And it was just...
You two were a match made in heaven.
We really worked well together, and I don't know what happened. Why? I don't know what they're doing now. I mean, every 5 minutes, he's on there without me. I'm like, how can he be on there without me? And then I'm on there without him. I'm like, why am I on here without him?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when you have something that works, I don't know why they don't just do it, but they just don't. They just don't. I don't know why. So, you know, I quit trying.
I mean, yeah, they could have brought Alex to Mendoora and did something with that ridiculous storyline and made it a little more interesting.
They could have not made it Mendoora. I mean, they're going to bring him back. Do it with me. Make it
together. Exactly.
You know, and vice versa. And then when I did such a great job and with Tuck, I mean, my God, I had the time of my life with Tuck, you know.
Yeah.
And we got written up, and I got nominated for Best Guest. What was I? Best Guest TV Guide, Guest Star thing up in Canada. Next thing I know, I'm going back to Landview, and I'm telling Dorian everything that I know, that basically giving her my storyline so that she can go back to Landview and do my storyline. I said, okay.
That you were coming back for like a day or two. I was like, are they serious?
I know. It's insane.
Like, what the hell is the purpose of that? I mean,
so I can give my storyline to Robin.
Robin Strasser.
Yeah.
Okay.
Who wasn't too happy that I was on there working with David in the first place last time I was there.
Right.
So I was like, okay. I get it.
You know.
It's like going back to a bad boyfriend. Every time I go back there, it's like I'm going back to a bad boyfriend who never treated me right in the first place. And and you know, that's what it's always like. And then I go, and so I don't even really think it's in my best interest. You know, every time I go back, there's always something.
Well, seeing that you do feel that way, do you go back because you know the fans love to see you on the screen, or do you do it for a different reason?
No, I'm just exactly like a woman that goes back to her old boyfriend. I think it's going to be different this time.
He's not going to do that this time. I swear he's not. Let me just try one more time. God damn it.
Yep. That's the one.
Oh, wow.
That's the one.
I promise he won't do it anymore.
Exactly. I made that analogy, and I decided to stick with it because it's really perfect.
Well, I don't care what reason you do it for, because we love it when you're on screen.
Thank you, honey.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
And
yeah, it's always a blast. I always have such a good time, and I have so many friends there.
Yeah.
It's like really, I was there a long time, and one of the things I've always done is I've always made friends with the crew. You know, so when I go back and I see the cameramen and the lighting guys, and you know.
I know one of them. I know one of their names anyway. Bill Moser. He's a great guy.
Oh, he's wonderful.
Yes, him I like. He's a really nice guy.
Do you know Alan Edelman?
No, Bill Moser. How I met Bill Moser is I was actually in Manhattan promoting my show, trying to get guests to come on,
mm-hmm.
and I went down to the studios
mm-hmm.
because I had tried the correct way and went through the
agents.
Publicists and never the agents. I always get somebody, always, but I tried to do it through the network publicists, and I never, ever, ever got responses. So I took a train down from Buffalo, and I went down into the city, and I went and I started handing out my business cards to everybody that walked out the door.
It was
sweet justice, because David Fumero went and got that publicist and brought her downstairs.
Oh, that's so cool.
He did.
David
had done the show before, so he went and got her and brought her down.
That's wonderful.
Yes, but that's how I met Bill, because he kept coming outside and he took my card and he was like, oh, I'll pass it around for you. And he was just like really awesome.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah,
well, that's what everybody needs. Everybody needs that. I've always gotten people that have been very generous to me in this business. I've always had one person take my hand and send me someplace, and so I do the same thing for other people.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. Let's touch real quick, Brandon. I wanted to talk to Tanya about the recent passings of two of your former co-stars, Bill Carey and Clint Ritchie.
Yeah, so sad. Yeah, I'm going into the memorial services tomorrow for Phil.
You and Philly were so great together.
Yeah.
And what a fun time. You brought out the absolute best in him.
Oh, thank
you. Brought out a twinkle in his eye that nobody else ever did, ever.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Yeah, it was a blast. I love to work. You know, it's my favorite thing to do. The only thing that was ever missing from my life when I was acting all the time was having children, you know,
mm-hmm.
because it was my absolute first love. I still feel that way. I love acting.
Right.
To have people work with, like Phil Carey and Tom Christopher and Bob Woods and Tuck Watkins is just so much fun. Just to have people like that to work with is just such a blast.
Right.
And there's such an improvisational energy to daytime, even though you have to do it the way they said to do it and the way it's in the book and da-da-da and the script and this and that. There's still an energy, like a theatrical kind of energy, that happens because it's so quick and it happens so fast. And
right.
That's what's so much fun with working with seasoned people.
I watched today the clips on YouTube just to refresh my memory of the infamous Egyptian wedding in Central Park.
Oh, wasn't that incredible?
It was,
yeah.
And it just brought it all back. Can you tell us a little bit about that and how that was filming that? Because it just looked like you've had a blast.
No, it was the best. It was one of the best times of my whole life. We to get this location shoot, which I'd never gotten before, and to have these incredible costumes made for us by the great Susan Gammy. I mean, who was just terrific at exactly finding exactly the right fabric,
mm-hmm.
exactly the right look, and exactly the right headdress, and exactly the right colors. And She's just so good at what she does, and Sally is so good at what she does too. And the people there, also, you know, Roger Mooney, who does all the props, everything looked perfect. You know, completely believable. That settee, it's not called a settee. I can't remember what it's called. The thing you lay down in that had the lion's head.
Oh yeah, it had the tiger rug on it.
You lay down on that and they carry you around. I mean, where did they find that thing? Where did they find that thing? And then she made these costumes for these boys to wear. You know, that covered up very, very little, which was just perfect for Alex. To have these hunky guys, you know, in these very, very small get-ups with the big, you know, Egyptian thing on their head. And basically they had two heads covered and that was it. You know what I'm saying? It was small, this costume, small. And then it was freezing. So I felt so bad for them. Did you see them? They were like freezing and they were having to act like they weren't freezing. We had to be there ready to go at 6 o'clock in the morning in October.
Oh, wow.
So as the sun came up, we had to be there. So everyone was really, really cold, and including me. But I had this great gold like wrap that she'd had made for me. And I just had the best time. So they rowed me in on this, wasn't really supposed to be called a canoe. I don't know what you'd call it. I guess it's a raft. And then all the horses were there. And do you remember the part where the Burke Moses, who played Bulge, and the other actor that played the other nun, the two nuns, they were ready
yes,
to...
Yes, yes. That was hysterical.
I couldn't believe it. And then all the handsome Buchanan men came in on the horses.
Oh, yes.
It was
awesome.
It was just sensational. It really was.
Aww.
Made me feel really special. I really enjoyed that. It's a gift to get to do stuff like that, a real gift in your life to get to do that.
Was that headdress heavy?
Nah.
No?
I had absolutely not a complaint in the world, you know. I mean, it was just so much fun. I had not a complaint in the world, except it was cold in the morning, you know. But then I looked at these naked boys, and I didn't care. I was like, I can't say anything about it. Those guys are handling it. You know, I felt so bad for them. It was really, really wonderful. And Gary Tomlin is one of the best soap directors there, you know, because he knows how to get everything done and get it done right in a certain period of time, and Jill Mitwell the same way, so they both did that scene.
Mm-hmm.
That was really fun. And I've since worked for Gary. I worked for Gary on Passions. I worked for Gary on One Life.
Mm-hmm.
I've worked with Jill on One Life. I've stayed really good friends with him. And I just read that the Lisa DeCosette from Passions just went to All My Children. That's interesting.
Oh, that's the one. Oh, wait a minute. No, who was that?
She's the executive producer of Passion. She just went over to
Oh, right. Okay. I was thinking of one of the actresses. Brandon, what's that young actress's name that's playing the psychiatrist?
Oh, that's Mackenzie Westmore. She was on
Passion.
Yeah.
Right.
We used to look quite a bit alike. If you just, like, glanced at the television set, you wouldn't know if it was she or I on the TV.
Right, right.
But, yeah, she's a really nice woman. Really like her. It's so people are really good, you know, in general, but just good, hardworking people, you know.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So I keep in touch with them. I'm actually moving into, I don't know if you know, I produced a film called The Derby Stallion.
Yes, I have that here. I definitely want to talk to you about that.
Yeah.
Connie Walker Productions.
Yeah, and I did that in 2005, and it came out in 2009. It took 2007, excuse me, and it was... it wasn't really direct to DVD. We were in a couple theaters, but it was in the video magazines. It was called a direct to DVD release, and it was like the number one direct to DVD release for 2007.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was a huge accomplishment for me because I'd never produced anything before, and I definitely have a producer's head.
Right.
And a director's head. So I definitely wanted to do that for a long time.
Right, and that was with Bill Cobb, Zac Efron, William Moses.
And me, and Crystal Hunt was in it,
mm-hmm.
and Rob Pinkston. And it was really, really, really fun. We had a great time. And we did that in Atlanta. And it was with horses. I love horses. So we have a new release of that coming out I wanted to talk to you about. It's going to be back out in the stores, brand new box, brand new never-before-seen footage that I'm editing together as we speak,
mm-hmm.
and putting together new, you know, the new extras that go in the DVD. So we're we're re-releasing that, and that'll be in June. It'll come out in June, and we'll also have a platinum version. Extras in it, the
mm-hmm.
platinum version. Zach's got a bunch of new movies coming out, so it'll probably be all timed at the same time as his other pictures are coming out.
Well, that'll be great.
Mm-hmm.
My nieces are huge fans of his, and when I saw that movie, I said, oh, that's definitely something I got to buy her because she likes horse soap. So I was like, so now that you just said that it's going to be re-released in June, because her birthday is in July, so I'll wait until June, and I'll get that. I have one of them is in May, and one of them is in July, so they'll both get it at the same time.
Oh, good.
So that'll be good. Perfect.
Oh, good. Yeah, it was really, really fun to do that, and quite a accomplishment for me.
Mm-hmm.
It was a challenge and a half, but it worked out. It worked out well.
What's the story about?
Oh, it's about a boy that wants to be a steeplechase jockey, and his parents have much higher aspirations for him and much different aspirations for him.
Mm-hmm.
And he also wants to befriend what the town perceive as the town alcoholic and,
mm-hmm.
you know, old man who drinks too much, who people should just stay away from. And the truth is he's just a lonely old guy who got caught up in a story, like a black and white love story years ago, and has
mm-hmm.
sort of been paying the price ever since. But he was a steeplechase champion, and he and Zach's character become really, really good friends, and Zach's family eventually supports their son. I mean, I play his mom, and Bill Moses plays his dad, and we eventually try to support him and keep him on a short leash, but support him in what he wants to do, and we realize what a mistake it was to prejudge this old man, because he's really not what everybody thought he was.
Mm-hmm.
So it's got a lot of messages in it that are really great, and and it's also a really good family film, and it's got the competition thing in it. Michael Nardelli plays a really good villain. I taught him everything I know, and he's really good, and he's the nicest kid in the world, but he's really, really a good villain, and he's out to get Zach. He's the champion, and he doesn't want anybody to think that anybody's going to beat him. And he's
right.
very wealthy, and he's very strong, and he's very talented, and he's going to blow this kid out of the park. And you know, he's kind of like Richard Nixon in that he didn't really have to go as far as he did to get rid of this kid, but he
right.
goes too far. anyway, so he really does a great job. And then at the end, you know, we'll see how it always works out the way it's supposed to. So, I really enjoyed doing that. And I've been asked to produce a couple other family films. And recently the money fell out of a couple of them because of the economy being the way that it is. But I'm sure that they'll come back. I'm also very involved with American Place Theater. And it's a benefit. It's a 501c3, you know, it's a charity. But it was, if you go to AmericanPlaceTheater.org, you'll see that it's been around for 42 years, and
wow.
that Wynn Hanman, who's 80-something, I think he's 81 or 82, started the theater because there was really no place for writers to see their work on a stage and for actors who were very talented but weren't names to get up on a stage around Broadway and actually work.
Mm-hmm.
So he would put up a Sam Shepard play when no one had heard of Sam Shepard, and he would put Olympia Dukakis on the stage when nobody had heard of Olympia Dukakis. And he started Eric Bogosian and Richard Gere, and you wouldn't believe the people that he gave a start to.
Mm-hmm.
And when I went to his birthday party, you know, celebrating American Place Theater, Chris Cooper was sitting at my table, and Joel Gray was sitting at my table, and the late Paul Newman and his wife were sitting at my table, and I was like, oh my God, this man started all these people, and this is what American Place Theater still is for.
Wow.
But now it's more to bring. They have a program called Literature to Life,
mm-hmm.
and that's really what the main focus is today. Wynn takes a tremendously talented actor and adapts a very, you know, important book like The Kite Runner or mm-hmm. Secret Life of Bees, and has an actor do all the parts.
Mm.
And so he adapts it, and it's a 1-hour show of some fabulous book, and then these actor teachers go all over the world, all over their country to school,
right.
and do this. And schools bring in these actor teachers in a residency program, and then the kids get so worked up and excited about, you know, studying the book in this way that they actually
mm-hmm.
enjoy the reading and the literature, and they are more exposed to literature and more exposed to theater, and it's a really important, wonderful thing. And right now we have Meryl Streep doing a little video clip to talk about it, because during the recession, you know, people don't give to charity anymore, and
yeah.
And you know, so many things, especially now, get cut from the education programs in schools, especially arts, theater.
Mm-hmm.
It's just important to me. I'm on the board, and it's important to me to really try to remind people about American Place, because it brings literature into a lot of times into, you know, underprivileged schools or underprivileged neighborhoods where these kids would never be exposed to this kind of stuff.
Right.
So it's really wonderful. I love it. And I've seen a lot of thank you letters from people that have been schools and teachers. And, you know, even in Cleveland, where I went when I first got married for a few years, we took the program there, and they have them back every year now. So it's AmericanPlaceTheater.org.
There's one more thing.
There's one more thing. Say what you got to say, honey. I'm doing a Habitat for Humanity benefit in Danbury, Connecticut.
Wonderful.
Yeah, I really believe in that particular. I like doing stuff for charity where you can actually see what you get.
What's happening, right.
For your dollars, you know. Literature to Life, you see the actor, you see the kids, you see what they're getting, you see the improvement in the school, et cetera. And with, you know, Habitat for Humanity, there's people, you know, pounding nails in wood and making houses for people, and I like that. I like that. So that event is March 20th, and you can look it up online and Habitat for Humanity in Danbury. The Housatonic
March
Habitat for Humanity. March 20th.
Okay, I'm going to look everything up and post it. But I have in the chat room, I posted the American Place Theater. And
thank you.
Your website, and I'll put all that stuff on my website and on the blogs and stuff like that. And I know Brandon will do the same thing.
Oh, I need somebody to redo my website. My website looks terrible. I've just been too busy to do much with it. So I'm glad for you.
Well, I will definitely put everything up for you. And I actually know a few people that can do websites, so I'll send some names. So then you can kind of go through them and see if you like what you see or whatever. But yeah, I know a few people that do stuff like that. But I'm just anything that you want to talk about. I mean, we'll talk about. And I'm so for promoting the other stuff, not just to talk. I mean, everybody's curious about your soap history and this and that, and they want to ask questions. And well, that's great. But I love to hear about the other stuff also. So
thank you.
We have a young girl. Tanya, Tonian, she makes a lot of banners for me. She's a graphic artist student,
wow.
And she does a lot of banners for me. And She actually did a couple things for Kristen Alderson events and stuff like that. So I'll forward her information over and to Carolyn, and maybe it's something that you might be able to work with.
That's so nice.
So. Yeah, she does fabulous things. Tell me, and I know I see you in the chat room, so you should call in and introduce yourself and say hi. 347-945-5423. Brandon, do you have any more questions for Tanya before I go to the phones?
I have one more quick question, and then I'll get off and let somebody else talk. I know we're talking about, you know, most of two decades ago, so if you don't remember, it's fine, but you did some electrifying
work. I don't
have Alzheimer's.
I'll remember.
It's fine, but you did some terrific work with my all-time favorite actress. Her name is Grace Phillips in 1992.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if you remember working with her at all, but if
of
you do,
course.
I would love some memories.
Yes, stories. She was the new and improved Sarah.
Absolutely. She was magnificent.
Yep, she did a great job. That girl could cry.
And
oh, my God.
She had the most mesmerizing eyes I've ever seen in my life, ever.
I know, and she could cry. Huge tears. Huge. You know who else can do that is Crystal Hunt.
Wow. Mm.
Crystal Hunt was in a funeral scene with me in my movie. And her tears, I was holding her arm and I had a black sleeve on my suit, and her tears were actually bouncing. I looked down at my right arm and they were actually like splat. They were like splash. They were like splashing. I've never seen anybody that cries tears that actually splash. This is amazing, truly amazing. Grace was great. She was a really wonderful actress. She had a really tough job. The character of Sarah had been played by, help me.
Jensen Buchanan.
Thank you. And everybody loved her.
Yes.
So whenever
yes.
you create a character, you know, it belongs to you. So when somebody else comes in and plays it, it's very difficult for people to buy it. And she did a magnificent job, and she was sensational and very, very sensitive and of her own mind. And she did quite well afterwards. She had a nighttime series, like, immediately after she left the show.
Yeah, she was on a Stephen Boschko show called Murder One for a season. And what a great actress. You did some terrific work with her.
Thank you.
I remember there was a scene in a warehouse where you two were kind of back and forth with each other, and it's on my iPod to this day. I listen to it all the time.
Really?
Absolutely.
I'd love to see some of that stuff. I don't have any of that stuff. You think you're going to have it forever, and then you don't.
Uh-huh.
It's like you don't have it anymore.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah.
Well, I think you're absolutely terrific. I've been a big fan of yours for a long time. I'm going to get off the phone and let somebody else talk.
But
it's an honor talking to you tonight.
Thank you, sweetie. You too.
Thank you. Thanks, Joanne.
Talk to you later. All right, Brandon. Talk to you later. Have fun.
Okay.
Brandon can tell you things about the history of the shows that you've been on better than the people that wrote it, I think, sometimes. He's actually scary sometimes. He really
that's
is.
Neat. That's neat that he's so committed to it.
Yeah, he really, really is. He's fabulous. But so are you ready to talk to some of your fabulous fans?
Well, of course.
Okay. We're going to go over to area code 954, which is Fort Lauderdale, Florida. This is Linda.
They're up late. They're like me.
Yeah, Linda. Hello. Did I hang up on her? Linda. Okay, well, we'll see. She'll call back. That's my very dear friend, so I'm not worried about her. We got Tony from Chicago.
Hey, Joanne.
Hey, say hi to Tanya.
Hi, Tanya.
Hi, Tony. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. And what Brandon and Joanne said, those double for me. Everybody loves Alex, and I've loved her for many years. And you've done a magnificent job with that.
Thank you. Thank you. It's a lot of fun. I still love going back there, even though it's like going back to an old boyfriend. Because the work that I get to do is so much fun, you know.
Yeah, well, what would be the perfect scenario to bring her back now at this time?
What would be the what?
The perfect scenario to bring her back at this time.
Well, I like the idea of, I like the storyline they had planned for me that they ended up giving to Robin Strasser, because initially they had told me that they wanted me to come back every time that Tuck came back.
Mm-hmm.
And now that she's doing that, it would, you know, it would be interesting if I could come back and do that. What I like about the last time I was on is that I, you know, my character said, you know, please leave me alone. You know, I'm very happy down here. I don't want to be bothered, and I don't want to go back there. So somebody would need to have a reason to come and get me.
Right.
You know, and that would be great. If it was a, you know, it would be nice if I actually went back there kicking and screaming.
Right.
Do you know what I'm saying? And because,
yeah, I hear what you're saying.
Because the character's really not. She's really not. I don't know when she became this gold digger person. She was never a gold digger, and I that's what I don't particularly like to play, because it's not realistic.
Right.
And she, you know, and she's certainly not a damsel in distress. And they've had me go back and do, you know, they've had me go back and do damsel in distress. And I'm like, excuse me, I'm supposed to be able to kick your butt. You know, I mean, my first day on the show, I flipped this guy over my shoulder and he landed on the floor and he was 6'4".
Oh,
right?
No.
You know, so, I mean, this is silly. So it just, that happens because writers change, you know, and they go from head writer to head, and they just don't remember who people really are. But anyway, it would be nice if I could go back and come back in kicking and screaming, and I really got to play the intelligent, brilliant, conniving person that Alex is.
Right.
You know, and I don't need money anymore.
Right.
You know, I would love it if I could just, you know, play the part that I've created instead of
exactly what you were supposed to play.
Instead of this damsel in distress, you know. I mean, if she decided she wanted to have a child, or if she decided that if she had a child somewhere and something happened and they didn't have the right medicine for the child, or if, say she was, I don't know, some relative showed up. I mean, there's always something that they can conjure up, and it would be great. It would be great if I could go back there kicking and screaming and have to put up with these people, you know,
right.
And then maybe actually end up with a friendship or two out of it. That it needs to be incorporated back in, which I think that's what they were trying to do, and I don't exactly know what happened. I know we were very successful, so I know that didn't have anything to do with it.
Right.
So I don't really know what happened, but I did know that when I went back there and I was telling her everything that I had on David, that she was going to do my storyline. I mean, that was pretty obvious.
Right.
And she does a great job with it. She does a great job with him. It's a different thing, but it's very funny too.
Yeah, but it's not you. So I mean, you know, not for nothing. I don't know. I think the chemistry is better with you. You make a better team. I'm in favor of that storyline with you. So that's where I'll leave that.
Well, we'll see. It's always tomorrow, right?
You know,
that's right.
And that's the fabulous thing, like you said, about fans. You know, when they want something, they have the power to kind of, you know, try and make it happen. But honestly, I think that a lot of people think now that writing in really doesn't matter, because they're looking at the status of daytime now, like in Days of Our Lives with the firing of Deidre Hall and Drake Hogeston and you know what I mean, and Stephen Nichols and Mary Beth Evans. And so I think they probably feel like they don't have a voice anymore, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So that can be
well,
the
only reason
for them.
People were like, oh, it's because they don't have any money to pay them.
Yeah.
But it has nothing to do with anything else. It's just they don't have any money to pay them. I mean, I know that's true. I mean, it's just the way it is right now. But in our case, I think it's because because ABC owns their own shows. I think ABC is in a more lucrative position. It's Disney, for crying out loud.
Yeah.
But I do think that the only thing I ever see in a soap magazine or in a online thing, it's always these kids.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, and so I think that the powers that be think that the only voices that that are out there, or that are out there, are the ones of the kids, you know, that
right.
want to see 16-year-olds and 20-year-olds try to figure out how to have a relationship,
right?
Which quite frankly, they have no idea how to do. And
right.
And that's how, you know, it's fun to watch that a little bit, but it's also fun to watch adults have interest
and
stuff happen.
Exactly.
You know, and that's, to me, that's more interesting, you know, sexy men and sexy women, not kids.
Right.
I find it more interesting. And I always have, even when
mm-hmm.
I was younger, I was always a soap opera fan.
Mm-hmm.
So even when I was younger, I was interested in what the 35-year-olds were doing or the 40-year-olds were doing. Not the 50-year-olds or 70-year-olds, but the ones in the middle there, you know.
Right.
You know, and it didn't have to be, the 20-year-olds were kind of blah.
Right.
But that's who I think they're listening to now. And therefore, I don't think they think that anybody that's older than that is watching the show, or that they care,
right.
or that they'll write in. And it's
right.
that's the reason I'm not on there.
Yeah.
I guarantee it. Absolutely.
Right.
You
wow.
know, and that's what I need. I need the grown-ups to write in.
You do. And now, do you have a fan club?
I used to.
Mm-hmm.
I should probably have another one. I just don't have time for all this, you know. I have two kids and a husband, and
yeah.
I'm writing and I'm singing, and I'm writing a nighttime
right.
television show.
And you do have a great
Are you really?
It's awesome. That one I
right.
think on. It's kind of like Desperate Housewives meets Sex and the City.
Okay, very
oh,
nice.
Yeah.
Yes,
well,
really.
I think we need to hook you up with somebody to get you started with another fan club. I think.
There you go.
Okay. Well, let me know.
I'm looking into some stuff for you there, Missy.
Okay.
I am just going to have to.
Okay.
Yeah.
I know they're still out there because I still get fans.
They are. They definitely are.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's time. You know, I had this conversation
Tony,
with Eileen Kristen.
By the way.
Yeah. Hang on, Tony. I had this conversation with Eileen Kristen not too long ago, the same thing. You know, she had the same feelings, like you said, about the younger kids and
mm-hmm.
whatever. And, yeah, we definitely got to hook something up. We'll find something. Definitely. Okay, we got Linda back on the phone. Linda, where did you go? Hello?
I don't know. I lost you guys.
Oh, well,
we were saying
we
hello, and you didn't say anything. So I said, well, maybe she's got me on speakerphone. So I said, I will come back. So say hi to our girl, Tanya.
Hi.
Hey, yeah, how are you?
I'm really good. How are you doing?
Excellent. I'm in a chilly hotel room in Jacksonville, Florida tonight.
How come it's chilly?
I don't know. I guess it's just a little bit cooler in North Florida than it is in South Florida.
Yeah.
Night.
Yeah. My husband.
Yeah, yeah. It's I've just been enjoying your stories and just listening to, you know, some of the storylines that you've done, and it's just deja vu. And I'm just very excited that you're on the show tonight.
Thank
I've been
you.
Eagerly awaiting your interview.
Today I was reading Soaps in Depth, and I was looking at
uh-huh.
they had said something about the top 100 sexiest like men of all time in daytime, and I was looking through the list, you know, and
uh-huh.
Brad Lockerman was in there from Capital, which I'm sure you probably don't remember, but I was on Capital, and
yes.
And he was on the show, and he ended up also being on General Hospital as like this alien guy, which I had left right before that, and it was so stupid. That was another one of those Joe Hardy experiences.
Uh-huh.
The one that put me in a coffin. I remember going into his office and going and saying, like, if you put me in a coffin, I can't come back. So if you could just not put me in a coffin, I'd really appreciate it. He goes, oh, you can always come back as your twin sister. I said, you know what? No one has ever come back on General Hospital as a replacement for themselves. Not one character has ever done that. And that's the truth.
Right.
As of that, at that time,
Right.
But you never know why things happen, because then I ended up on One Life to Live. And if I hadn't been on One Life to Live, I wouldn't have played Alex, and I wouldn't have met my husband, and I wouldn't have had Mike, you know? So you just look back
right.
at things, and you go, why did that happen? And I feel that way about everything in my life.
Mm-hmm.
But I loved seeing this list, because Duke Lavery was on there.
Mm-hmm.
And Colton Shore was on there.
Oh, yes.
And Carlo Hesser was on there.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt like this nasty girl. I'm like, I did all those guys.
She had the best job in daytime. All right.
Oh, my God.
You know you're successful when you've got a whole lot of last names. That's what I
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. I got tired reading all them last names.
I know. I was impressed. I'm
just glad it wasn't Susan Lucci. I would have friggin' ran out of breath.
I know. I would have been off the phone by now.
Oh, wow.
Goodness gracious. Well,
wow. Well, thank you so much for coming on. And it's just, I just love to hear your stories and the old storylines. And anytime you're on, it's always such a treat.
Oh, thank you.
And, big fan, and love everything that you've done. And I always look forward to seeing what's new with the hair.
Oh, my whole life is about my hair.
Yeah, the hair
is
going to
be
so
my
bad.
It's going to say all her life was all about her hair.
The hair looks good. Your
hair
is
finally resting in peace, you know. honest to God, it's been so hard on me, this hair thing. Because I got these hair extensions a year ago, a little over a year ago. And I love them. But my mother thought I looked so much better with short hair. And is your mother still alive?
Yeah. Yes.
So she's still there to nag you about your hair, if she were the type to do such a thing.
Right.
So that's the kind I have.
Mm-hmm.
So she says, Tanya, honey, really. I mean, you look so much younger. And this is the thing now, you know. You look so much younger with short hair. I said, Mom, everybody's got hair extensions. All the people have hair extensions. I don't look younger with short hair. And then my husband jumps on the bandwagon. You look so much better with short hair, honey. I'm like, stop. I've got this glamorous Miss USA thing going on, and you're telling me I look better with short hair. So,
oh, no.
So I cut it all off. And now I'm trying to find a short haircut that I like. And it's just been one thing after another with the hair.
Well, you are beautiful, and you don't need the hair. You've got, you know, such a beautiful face and gorgeous eyes. You're just
everybody,
you know, it's all good, Tanya. You
everybody
look fabulous
hair,
no matter
what. Everybody needs hair. So I look at Lisa Rinna's hair, and I'm like, okay, she's kept that same style. Now, if I had done that, I would have been bored out of my mind. It looks fabulous on her, but
right.
I couldn't do that. But I've gone from one extreme to the other, to the other, to the other, to the other. I mean, it's just...
That's the story of my life with my hair. Am I right, Linda? Oh, my God.
That is true.
I did the same exact thing. I get very bored with hairstyles. And then I went through high school like that. I cut my hair all the time, and I would get, like, such an urge. I would look at it, and I'd be like, oh, my God, I'm really, really getting sick of it. But I couldn't wait for my mother to take me to go get a cut. I'd grab the scissors, and I'd start creating my own mess.
Oh, my God, I've done that, too. I colored it myself all the time. I used to dye it,
and oh, gosh. And then when I had gone through chemotherapy a few times in the last few years. So when my hair first started growing back, I would go crazy. And Linda, I mean, my hair couldn't have been no more than 3 or 4 inches long. I went straight to the shop and got extensions put in. And I swear, it was just insane. Different wigs, different, oh, it was like
what's your favorite?
Thing.
What's your favorite?
I love long hair.
Yeah.
I love long hair, but I also loved the idea of having it short. So it was like,
right.
I could still make it short without cutting it, you know, with clips and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But, you know, and then now that I got acclimated to using extensions and ponytail clips and stuff like that,
I can do it either way now. That's the best.
Yeah.
I can do it either way now,
so I'm good.
Yeah.
Right now it's right about... right above my shoulders. I'm letting it grow.
Yeah, well,
so,
I did a cruise to Alaska this summer, and my hair was that right there, and it looked really, really nice. And I went back to the hairdresser to have her tighten the extensions.
And mm-hmm.
she was 2 hours late.
Oh, God.
And so I said, okay, this is a sign from God that it's time to get my hair cut short.
Uh-huh.
Because everybody, my mom, my husband, you know, had been on my back about it. So I said, okay.
Yeah, there's just no patience. I don't have it. I mean, not at all.
No.
Oh, goodness.
The things that I think are a sign from God. Yesterday, I'm shoe shopping with my daughter.
Uh-huh.
And I find, you know, a couple pairs of really, really reasonably priced shoes. We went into this, like, you know, I don't know, discount place. I never even knew it was there. And so we're going, oh, my God, look at this. Oh, my God, look at that. And she said, oh, Mommy, these are perfect. This is a sign from God.
That's so funny.
We were supposed to come in here. These shoes are a sign from God. I said, honey, I really don't think that God cares what kind of shoes. He's like, no, really. This is a sign from God. I was like dying. She's my,
uh-huh.
my little 10-year-old who copies me.
That is so cute.
Yeah, I know.
Cute.
And they've all got auditions. They've got auditions for their school play, and they're supposed to find out tomorrow if they've got callbacks or not. And then I've got then I've got the Valentine's Day party in the morning. I made cookies tonight to send over there. And,
So you're better than me. I went and bought some lollipops at Walgreens. I wasn't baking this one. It was the last, I swear. My son's birthday is on Halloween. So on Halloween, I baked myself out because I had to bake for the class. I had to bake for the Cub Scouts, and then I made him one for home.
Yep.
And then Christmas came, and I baked for the Christmas thing, and then, of course, we had a blizzard and snow, school was canceled. So forget about the baking. I went and bought some Pepe Le Pew lollipops, 2 for $6, and that's what he's going to school with. I'm not baking.
Oh, well, I bought all these Valentines thinking they both had to – I've got two kids – that both girls had to send – had to make Valentines for all the children in their class.
Mm-hmm.
And after I spend all this money on the Valentines on both children, then I find out that only one kid is supposed to take in Valentines, and that the other, my fifth grader, they've decided, they told her today that they were too, I got two stories. One was they were too young to send Valentines because they would be sending them to the boys, too, in the class. They were too young for
mm-hmm.
that, which
really?
Sounds really stupid to me.
Yeah.
And the other one was that they were too old to send Valentines, which also seemed really stupid to me.
Yeah.
So I called the room mother, and I said, Elaine, is that middle school principal micromanaging again? Because this is the stupidest thing I ever heard of.
Well, I have to agree with you on that.
It's a private school, and I just, you know... Yes, but anyway, so it was all, she said that they could do whatever they wanted to do, so.
Oh, gosh, no. My son, well, our children, Linda and I, we were both pregnant at the same time. Our kids are 8. And he wrote all his Valentines out, and he sure wouldn't let me see the girls' ones, that's for sure.
Well,
he did one for me.
I think it's nice.
It was hysterical.
Kids grow up too fast now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, they just grow up so fast. I want to keep them as little as I can for as long as I can.
Yeah,
I waited
I
so
agree.
Long to have them, you know, that I love working, but I try to work around my family, you know, because that's so important.
It does go by fast. I mean, I have I'm 39. I have a 16-year-old and an 8-year-old, and the difference between the two is just, I can't even begin to tell you the conversations I've had lately with my 16-year-old. I want to shoot myself.
Oh,
Oh, no. God, if we weren't, I mean, honestly, if this was a private conversation, I would tell you what you said to me the other day. And, Linda,
well, you'll have
you
to
know,
call me back.
You know what? Seriously, because I was like, you've got to be kidding me. This is just, like, way too much information for me.
Yeah.
And we had to go repeat it all to somebody else today, too. I was like, whoa.
Well, I have three stepchildren. One's 19 and he's at Michigan.
Uh-huh.
And then the other, my daughter, Samantha, is 21, and she's at USC. And then there's an older one from Ed's first marriage. I was the fourth wife.
Oh, okay.
I'm going to have to write a book.
You want to know something?
A memoir.
Everybody's doing it. Why not? Did you see Catherine Hicklin just put out a book?
I know. How about that? She knows how to make money no matter what's going on. That's what that girl knows how to do.
She does.
You know what? She gets divorced. She goes, I'm going to write a book about it. And boom, next thing you know, she's got a book. She's in the face. She's very industrious, that young lady.
And they're best friends to boot, you know?
I know. Well, I dated him first. I sent him out there to her.
Did you really?
He actually owes me. I pretty much dated
everybody. I didn't know that.
I pretty much dated everybody in America.
Stop it.
That's interesting.
No, it's true. It's true.
You should definitely.
I watch TV.
Now I'm like,
I watch TV and I'm like, oh my god, I forgot about that one. My husband's like, oh shut up, I don't even want to.
Oh my god, I love Michael. He's great though.
He's wonderful. He was going. Yeah. We just weren't right for each other. And I said,
right.
We'd go out to California, but we laughed our buns off. We had the best time. But when he was getting ready to go out to LA, I said, you know, this is probably not gonna go forever and ever. It's been fantastic, but I don't see us. Do you see us like way down the road? And he said, well, no, not really, but you know. I said, okay, so you know, moving on. I said, when you get out there, there's this girl I want you to call. She has all the parties. She does, you know, she always has people over. She's got a really fun life. She'll introduce you to people. And then I was getting ready to call him once, and my girlfriend said, well, you know, he and Catherine are living together. And I just about dropped the phone.
Really?
No wonder I haven't heard from them. I'm glad they're doing so well. And then I found out from her that they were getting married, which I thought was fantastic.
Yeah.
Aww. Happy about that. Yeah.
She's a little matchmaker.
You can write
a book on anything, honestly. I mean,
yeah.
God, your experiences in the soaps, your experience with former boyfriends, including the show.
The whole lot, baby.
Yeah.
I was even in beauty pageants. I've even got the beauty pageant stuff.
That's right, Miss Maryland.
Yeah.
Right?
And Miss USA and Miss Teen. Oh, yeah.
You got a lot to talk about. God, Tanya, I want you to write a book now.
Absolutely.
When I have some time. Later down the road.
I just got Catherine's in the mail.
Let me put some. Yeah?
I just got hers in the mail because my son was going through this breakup with the girlfriend, and I was doing something on the site, and he's like, 30 days to cure heartbreak. Mom, please order that for me. I got to get over this girl.
Oh,
so I ordered the book. No, this is a 16-year-old.
Oh, okay. So you've got two boys.
Yeah, two boys. So I ordered the book, right? And the book comes, and it's sitting here on my desk, and it's not opened. I'm like, Christian, you see the book there? And he's like, yeah, let me look at it. And he looks at it. He's like, oh, wow, that's cool. And he puts it down. I said, what are you doing? He's like, oh, we got that together. I was like, oh. He's like, I'll read it. I said, oh, okay.
Well, stick it in the drawer for later.
Exactly.
There'll be a lot of these.
You know, absolutely, absolutely. All right, well, let's move on to another call. These people are like, shut up already with these silly stories. Oh, gosh. We have, this is Tony Ann, my little graphic artist.
Oh, hi. Is she
Tony
there?
Ann. Hello.
Hello.
Tony Ann, I'm here. Where are you? What is up with these people tonight?
Well, we're probably keeping them on the phone on hold too long or something.
No, they stay there. Trust me, these people stay forever. They don't hang up. I'm not kidding. They don't hang up. They don't. I don't care if I hang up on them, they'll call back. I swear to God. Okay, this is Georgette. Georgette in Jacksonville,
Hello.
Florida.
Hi, Georgette. Hi.
Sorry, I called so late. I'm on the way home from school, freezing my rear over here. It's cold again. What the heck?
I don't know. What's going on down there?
I can't handle it. It's hot, cold, hot, cold. No wonder everyone and their mother is sick.
Yep. That's what happens. We're having a windstorm up here. All the windows are shaking. You wouldn't believe it.
Oh, yeah, we are.
My friend Crash told me today she went outside to go start her car up, and it's a brand new Tiburon.
Yeah.
It's named Tibby, and she went outside, and her basketball cart fell on her car.
Mine fell over too today. Didn't hit
Weird.
Anything.
Weird.
Yeah.
Yeah, the
yeah,
weather was
ruined
going
her
nuts.
Car. $1,000 in damages. devastating.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, she better have insurance.
I know. I was just listening to your very interesting stories.
I think they're hilarious.
You should write a book.
See, we were just talking about that.
You see that? Absolutely.
Maybe I'll just be a call-in talk show helper with Joanne.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know what? Georgette, and I'm going to put you out there, Georgette. Georgette is a fan club president for Forbes March and Brittany Underwood on One Life to Live.
No way.
Yes, she is.
So you're a professional fan club president.
Yep.
Yeah. Wow. Well, that's cool.
Today, as a matter of fact, he's sick as a dog.
Oh, that's too bad.
Yeah.
Exactly
what I told him. I got up to his butt about that.
Believe it or not, I am still friends with all my. I had a fan club president named Debbie Genovese, who ended up being a production coordinator for General Hospital.
I had a
fan club president named Gina Simpson, who I still get peanut butter balls from at Christmas. I've stayed really good friends with all my fan club presidents.
He's not ever getting rid of me anytime soon, at least.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm friends with these people 25 years later.
Yeah,
Georgette's only 24 years old, Tanya.
I've known them since you were born.
Yeah.
So they're pretty great people, I can tell you that.
Everybody thinks I'm so young. I'm not that young. I'm going to be 24 in April.
Well, honey, you'll be 50 in 5 minutes, so just enjoy it while you got
Exactly. This is serious.
I know you don't believe it because I didn't believe it either. That's the funny thing, like when you get pregnant and people tell you, you know, enjoy it now because it's going to go by so fast.
Yeah.
It goes by so fast that it is impossible to understand how fast it goes by until you've actually experienced it.
This is true. This is so true.
And when
feel really old.
No, honey. You're a baby. And I wouldn't go through my 20s again for all the money in the world. Because that's when
that bad, huh?
No, when you're in your 20s, yes, actually, it is. When you're in your 20s, you're having a really good time, but you're also really nervous all the time because you don't really know what you're doing. You know,
not nervous. I wouldn't use that word. I'd say stressed out to the max.
Everything's a new experience, so there's a certain amount of anxiety that goes on in your 20s, and I believe that you know, once you've had an experience and you've gone through it and you've lived through it and you come out the other side of it as an adult on your own, out of mom's house and the whole thing,
mm-hmm.
and you go through enough of those in your 20s and you survive. You know, then when it happens in your 30s, it doesn't freak you out at all because you've been there, done that. But the 20s is when when you haven't been there and you haven't done that, and so it's all happening for the first time, and it's very difficult.
No, I totally agree. I'd do anything to go back to my teenage years.
Mm-hmm.
When I first started getting into the soaps, I didn't have any responsibilities. Mm-hmm. All I did was I saved my money and I went to soap events. I've been doing it for like 7 years now.
Yeah.
And I started when I was 16, and back then it was like, no big deal, whatever. I'm not saving my money for anything. And now, like, I have to pay for things. I have school, blah, and all this other crap. So I don't go anymore. I divorced the soapies. So
the 30s and 40s are the best. I really believe that. I love my
soapies.
I don't know. I'll
be 40 this year.
Yeah, you'll love
once
it.
Once I get things, so it'll be cool.
Well, cool.
Yeah.
Well, listen, stay warm. I've got to go. It's after 11 o'clock my time.
Yes, ma'am, it is. It definitely is.
But it's nice talking to all of you.
So, listen, Tanya, before I let you go, can you do a little promo for me?
Yeah.
Hey, this is Tanya Walker on Stardish Radio, something like that.
Yeah, and keep tuning in and listening to Joanne.
You got it. Whatever you want to say is cool with me. It's recording, and I'm going to send you a link to the archive so you have it for yourself, too.
Thank you.
Okay, whenever you're ready.
Okay. Hi, this is Tanya Walker. I've really enjoyed talking to Joanne on Stardish.
Perfect. Well, darling, thank you so much for calling in. I had a blast with you.
Me too.
And you definitely have to come back
anytime.
Anytime.
Let me know.
Anytime.
And if you have
you
any
keep me informed.
Okay, I will. I will. Thank
and
you
I'm going to send over that information on my little friend Tony Ann for your
so
website.
Cool. That's so cool.
Okay?
Thank you very much.
All right, sweetie.
All
have a good night.
Later. God bless. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye. The beautiful Tanya Walker. I'm sorry for those of you who did not get on the phone with her. Linda, you still with me?
I am, yes.
Yes, she is just incredible. I extended it a little bit because I saw that, you know, we were running into a little bit of overtime. So we have a few minutes left. And while tomorrow night, Michael Fairman from MichaelFairmanSoaps.com is coming on, and we're going to talk about a very soapy Valentine.
Very
so,
cool.
Yeah,
that's
so
definitely
a
good show, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So we want to know who everybody's soap Valentine will be. So make sure you come by for that. And I'm working on something big, people. And I know you saw me post about it on Facebook, but I'm not ready to tell anybody yet because I want to make sure I got my definite confirmation. And as soon as I have it, you guys will be the first to know.
Oh, boy. We're at the edge of our seats, Joanne.
Oh, God. Yes. Di in the chat room is saying tomorrow is also free hug day. You know what, Di? Somebody walks up to me and tries to hug me, they're going to get smacked. So they can keep their hugs. I'm not letting nobody hug me.
Yeah, it's that one thing called, you know, the little circle of personal space.
Yeah, no, they ain't hugging me. I'm not a hugger. Definitely not. Not unless I've had a little bit of alcohol, and I don't plan on drinking tomorrow, so don't hug me. Not at all. But Brandon's got a show tomorrow morning at 10:30 a.m. if anybody's around or you're at work and you just want to listen to a really cool interview with a musician by the name of Edward McCain. And he's here. Let me have him tell you. He sang a song for Dawson's Creek. Brandon.
Hey.
Brandon, tell everybody about your show tomorrow.
Sorry, say it again.
Tell everybody about your show tomorrow.
Yes, it's Brandon's Buzz. It can be found at www.blogtalkradio.com/Brandon's Buzz. Tomorrow, it's singer-songwriter Edwin McCain, 10:30 a.m. Eastern Time, 7:30 a.m. Pacific Time. You know him from his great song, I'll Be, about a decade ago. I could not ask for more. He's had a handful of hits, and he's going to be on the Buzz tomorrow morning. It's going to be great fun.
And Brandon also spoke to Joan Van Ark today from Knox Landing. So you check out, I'm going to put your thing here in the chat room. Check out his archives. He's had some fabulous interviews if nobody got to hear them yet. blogtalkradio.com/Brandon's Buzz. Go check out some of his archives.
They can also be found on podcasts on iTunes.
Oh, yes, on iTunes as well. Yep, this is true. This is true.
There's no excuse not to find me.
That's right. Brandon's around. Let me see. What else did I want to say? Oh, next Tuesday, the 17th, Rayal Andrews from General Hospital, formerly from General Hospital, who played Detective Taggart, will be on the show at 10 p.m. Eastern Time. He's got a lot of stuff going on, and he's doing auditions for Army Wives. And also, towards the end of the month, Seamus Dever, ex-Ian from General Hospital, will be coming back as well. He's going to be on the new ABC show Castle with Nathan Fillion.
Yeah.
Yes. So Seamus is going to be on that show also, and he's going to come by and talk about that. We've been talking. And, gosh, who else have I been talking to? I don't even remember. I tell you guys more, and I still don't remember. I'm just so excited. Alex, Tanya called in. I just feel like I was talking to you, Linda, for like an hour and a half or whatever. It's just like she was just like the best.
I know. She was great. She was great.
Yeah, she really was. And I'm glad Georgette decided to call in tonight, being that she never calls in the show anymore because she's such a friggin' flat leaver. You know, I know you hear me, Georgette, and yes, you're on the air.
Whatever.
Heard what I said. Flat leaving biatch.
You know, she's so wrapped up, she doesn't call no more. And Linda's in Jacksonville today.
I am. I've been here since Tuesday.
Doing what?
Working.
Oh.
Yeah.
Why
are
you fucking smack, Joanne? You act like I've been sitting there doing nothing and playing. If I was playing, I'd be calling. I'm sitting there doing work, homework.
Whatever.
Wait till next week. I'm not going to call in, period. I'm going to be busy next week.
All right. Well, you know what? Don't let the phone hit you in the ear.
Wait, I have a question, though. Wait, Seamus is on when?
I don't have a date yet. I'm waiting. It'll be at the end of the month because Castle, I think, Castle comes on, debuts March 9th. So he wants to come on close to the debut of Castle, and that is the first week of March is also when I'm expecting to find out about my little surprise that I didn't tell anybody about. So I'm working on it.
It better be Jordan Sparks. That's all I know.
No, it's not Jordan Sparks. Get the hell over it, Addie. No.
No.
On that one, seriously.
Huh?
I said, you're not working hard enough on that one, seriously. Get going.
Listen to me. Okay, can I just tell my friends here in the chat room and on the telephone, I'm not working hard enough to get Jordan Sparks on the show, okay? Can I say something about this? Georgette, seriously, who could be, you know, a go-getter kind of publicist person for, or a booking agent for Stardust Radio if she wanted to be, because she drove 4.5 hours, 8 hours, a round trip last week or 2 weeks ago to go see Jordan Sparks. And
I told you, Joanne.
I'm putting you on mute because you can't talk while I'm talking. Shut up. She drove an 8-hour round trip with a friend of hers to go see Jordan Sparks perform, swindled her way into the backstage through Jordan Sparks' mother and father and got backstage to meet her. But I'm not working hard enough to get her to come on the show. Mind you, this little biatch was standing there with the girl's mother and father and could have just said, hey, here, take this card, take this number, call my friend. She's got a radio show. So, okay, let's leave it at that right there. So I'm not working hard enough. And then she goes and takes time off of school the other day or whatever she did and drove another however long to go stand outside of a radio station to meet David Archuleta. But I'm not working hard enough. When she's there, she could be just handing out these stupid cards. Okay? So there you go, Georgette. Whatever.
That's so wrong.
Yeah, you're right. It is so wrong. You should have friggin' it's a show.
I told you. Can you listen to me? I sat there and spoke to her mom for a while. Her and mine, because I've never met her mom before. I've met her dad. Mm-hmm. I've seen him. I spoke to her mom, and I gave her the email. But Jordan is so busy, she doesn't have time.
Don't call me and bitch that I'm not doing my job, okay?
She's busy. She went straight from, she was just in Tampa. She's in Disney now. They had the American Idol attraction. The grand opening was today. She's there. And then she's going to the All-Star basketball game. I think it's tomorrow because she's performing there. And then she has to go, and she's too busy to, like, even have a phone call. So I think once things settle down, I'll take care of it for you. Don't worry. I'm seeing her again on March 7th. So,
whatever. You're seeing her again when?
March 7th.
Yeah, where?
This time I'm driving only 6 hours to see her, not 8.
Frick out of here.
Oh, you know I love her.
There's something wrong with you.
I won't drive to see anyone else but her. And it was worth my drive and my $75 well spent 3 weeks ago.
Okay, so don't tell me I'm not doing my job. You're there. Do it for me. I'm not there.
I'm working on it.
You ain't
going
to catch me driving 8 hours to go. No. Nope. Those days are over. For those of you in the chat room who are not going on the Rock the Soap cruise, you guys can enter at, yes, Di, I know you certainly would definitely drive
that time for your buddy Torsten K. Rock the Soul Cruise, Bonnie Hunt of the Bonnie Hunt Show. Go to her website, www.bonniehunt.com, and you can enter to win a VIP cruise for two and join us on Rock the Soap. So that contest is still going on. So
I was on the website today.
On Bonnie Hunt's website?
Yeah, I was on her website today, and I was looking it up because I thought about entering. And they make you, like, submit a video. What, are they crazy?
Well, why not? It's supposed to be something creative. I have no problem with that. The more creative you get, the better off, I think. No, Linda?
Yeah, maybe I will. Who knows? Maybe I will do that. I don't know. Even if I did win, I couldn't go, so it doesn't matter.
Well, then don't enter and take a chance from somebody else then.
Yeah,
I know. So I thought about going. But all
you can't go, don't enter.
I know. All I heard about last weekend is how hot Brandon Beamer was.
Well, he's not going to be there. So, oh, actually, that's the other thing. I'm going to see Brandon Barash on Sunday.
That's right.
Sunday. Next Saturday. Sorry, not this week.
February 21st.
Yeah, and 22nd. I'll see him.
Nice. That's going
to
be a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks to who, Chester? Thanks to who?
To him for telling me about it.
Him? Are you kidding? I already told you, you loser.
No, he didn't tell me about it.
Did he tell you about it? He didn't tell you the dates, though, and if you wouldn't have known the dates, because it's not advertised pretty well at all.
No, it's not, but you know what? You and another person told me, Carissa. Carissa in from Fort Lauderdale told
Florida.
Me.
Florida, yeah, Florida, yeah.
Yeah, Carissa told me. Let me see who this is on the phone. Hold on a second. Where'd Linda go? Oh, Linda's still there. Okay. Oh, Tony hung up. Oh, wow. Area code 903. Who's this?
It's Michelle.
Hey, Michelle. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
Good. So you're going to be in Vegas with Catherine Hicklin on the 20th?
Yes.
Okay. What's she doing out in Vegas?
They're having a big Knight Rider festival. And she's
Knight Rider?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, it's Paul Casey Productions. It's the Friday night and Saturday, March 20th and 21st. They're going to have a huge following with a lot of the old cast and a lot of the new cast. David's going to be there. Rebecca Holden. There's a lot of the stunt. Glenn Larson. So it'll be a reunion.
Oh, okay. Very cool. Very cool. And for those of you in the tri-state area, Catherine Hicklin has a book signing tomorrow, 7 o'clock.
Staten Island.
Yes, in Staten Island. So if you're in that area, definitely go check out Catherine Hicklin for her book signing, and I think she's doing a reading also. Let me see who this is here. Hang on a second, Michelle. This is Rita. Rita, hey, Rita. Hello?
I'm here. What do I register as? 646?
No, it's not coming up on a number.
It's not coming up?
No, it's not.
646 came up on Brandon's line because...
Yeah, what's up with that? That's a New York
code. I'm glad you asked. Jenna is going to be, she was supposed to be debuting the 10th. She was going to debut on her 6th. She was going to debut on the 6th and on her birthday, and she changed because she was going out of town. And then she was going to debut, make it on the 10th, but her father was using the computer.
Debuting what?
And she's starting a blog talk tomorrow night, right after your show, on the 646-929-2544. None of you have plugged her, so I'm plugging her now.
What's the name of her show?
It's a blog talk. I don't know if she knows how to get guests yet.
Okay, but did she name the show?
I'm not sure what she named it. I'm sort of like her co-host.
Oh, okay.
That's why I'm coming up 646 on yours, and I'm coming up 646 on Brandon's.
But then I don't understand. How do you make phone calls from that? You can't make phone calls from Blog Talk.
No.
No.
But I have internet, but I don't know how to use it.
Oh.
Today is a sad day for me. I lost my mom 2 years ago on this date.
Oh, I'm sorry.
So it was a really kind of a sad day. I'm glad you allowed me to plug Jenna.
Well, yeah, I wanted to find out what was going on. She had mentioned it to me, but never said anything else about it. So
well,
I wanted to see what was going on.
She didn't do it on the 10th, and she's doing it tomorrow night after. She's doing it around the same time Brandon usually does it at 10 o'clock.
Well, Brandon does his shows all different times now, so it's
I know
like
he's
tomorrow.
Doing it tomorrow, like 9:30 in the morning, and I don't know if I'm awake that early.
Brandon, are you going to be doing your show tomorrow at 9:30?
Yes, I am, 9:30 Central Time.
Oh, okay.
Well, I was on his line at 11:30 this morning, and I would have liked to have told Joan Van Ark that 40 years, she was, I know she was always afraid of getting older, and it's nothing to be ashamed of.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
She was afraid of getting old?
Well, no, she didn't like the four-decade plug.
Yeah, I only had 10 or 15 minutes with her this morning, so...
I heard that. You had very little time with her, but yep. I would if you'd have gotten me in there, I would have told her, be proud of it and enjoy it and don't be afraid. And I would have told her she's just as gorgeous and glamorous. I would have compared her with Joan Collins, and Joan Collins doesn't look at all the age that they say she is or whatever. I would have said that to her. I think
she is proud of it. I think she was just halfway kidding.
Well, I heard other stories about her way back in Knott's Landing times that she was kind of scared of looking old or her age, and she doesn't, so I don't know.
Oh, okay.
So I hope she was kidding.
All right, so what is the show going to be about?
Well, she doesn't know how to get guests yet. I mean, she actually talked with Sarah Brown. She talked with her actually, but on the computer, not on the, not like you doing it. I don't think she knows how to get guests yet, and I was hoping you two would help her on that.
Yeah, she needs
to. I gave her some advice on that.
Give me on the phone. Can anybody hear me?
I don't know, but she can't get cell phones and stuff like that on hers, I think.
No. Yeah, because she should. If she took the Blog Talk Radio tutorial over on blogtalkradio.com, I mean, they have tutorials in there that you could check out. Switchboards and all that.
Well... 646-929-2544 is her Blog Talk number.
Hey, Rita.
Yeah, but we need to know the website. What's the website?
Rita, what is
I'm not sure.
Okay. Hey, Rita, are you on the phone?
Yeah.
If he didn't name her show, well, I think I might give her a name of show. I got two names you can do it. She can say Jenna Star World or Star Rap Radio with Jenna and Rita.
Oh, let me write that.
Jenna Star World. Or
Jenna
Star World.
World.
Yeah, Jenna Star World.
Or
Star Rap Radio with Jenna.
Star
Rap Radio.
Radio.
With Jenna.
With Jenna.
Correct.
But I'm not sure what her website is.
Okay, you just gotta go to the Blog Talk Radio page, and
I don't know how to go on the computer. I mean, if there's
any way I
can call her tonight, and you can, you're 9:30 in the morning, or Joanne, what time are you tomorrow night? 9 o'clock?
My show's on tomorrow night. All right, guys, we got to wrap this up. We only got 90 seconds left. Come back tomorrow night.
Well, will you ask me? Because I've talked to her before then.
Come back tomorrow night, 10 p.m. Eastern Time. We'll have Michael Fairman from MichaelFairmanSoaps.com. We're going to be doing the Soapy Valentine show. Call in. We want to know what your Soap Valentine will be. We will talk to you all tomorrow, 10 p.m. Eastern Time. Have a good night.
Hey, I'm Eden Regal on Stardish. Thank you so much for listening.